it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guy on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. Hey, cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Hey!
Yo!
Happy Friday.
Yes,
Happy
sir.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Now I feel bad.
Why?
Well, because Steiny in the expense report kind of sounded like my parents trying to do the fantasy draft. I mean, I even got on the phone with them last night. They're both in their 80s.
You help me fix my phone?
Exactly. Like, they're screaming at each other. Let's be real. It's actually just my mom screaming at my dad. Tom, pick someone. Just pick anyone. And they're screaming.
Oh, they're talking about waivers?
Oh, God. In the draft. They didn't. I'm like, it's cool. I'm going to pause the draft. Mom, Dad, you're good. Like, take your time. I know you don't know who Bashult Hooten is. Just, it's going to be okay.
Quinshon Judkins.
We're also just here for fun. There's like it's your family. Like, say hi to your grandkids. They're sitting here drafting with you. This is just, it's just for fun. But they get so frustrated.
Yeah.
And then they lose week one. And now I'm calling them on a Wednesday and they're yelling at each other. Tom, why did you do that in the sixth round? He's like, I didn't know. I didn't know who anybody. And that's kind of what Steiny just sounded like with the expense report.
Yeah.
And now I feel bad because I don't want to make fun of my parents in the fantasy draft, and I don't want to make fun of Steiny with his expense report.
Yeah.
But it's nice of you to say it took 8 minutes. It actually took about 3.
Well,
maybe you have more expenses than me. I don't know, but
no, I mean it's about an 11 or 12 click process where it's click here, click there, you enter it, you do it, and the more you do it, the faster it gets. And so I'm not daunted. I'm only a few years younger than Steiny, but when it comes to things like expenses,
sure,
if the company is going to pay for expenses that I incur outside of the normal purview of my job, I'm going to submit it. And they have been approved 100% of the time.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
So
anyway.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, we can get out of our little bubble now and get into yours. The 49ers have a football game this weekend. Brock Purdy and George Kittle won't play in it. The hated Dodgers are in town, and we're told that this matters. And so here we go. Pennant race baseball. Who the hell knew? But the Giants are a game and a half out of a playoff spot. So are the Reds. The Mets are in full free fall mode. The Dodgers are in town, which gets the hair on the back of the neck stood up anyway. So we got a lot to get to, and we have, at the moment, somewhat purposefully put absolutely no one in your way on this show today. 888-957-9570. And in many ways, I think the concept today is kind of like, I brought up anxiety for a reason on the crossover. Like, where is your anxiety? Is it focused on the Dodgers being in town? Mine is focused on the fact that Mac Jones is the 49er quarterback right now. And this is kind of what I'll just first say about that, because we talked about it a lot yesterday. I got nothing against Mac, and my hope is absolutely that the 49ers win. But I'm driving in, and I'm listening to my friend, Mike Yam, is on with Steiny and Goo, and he's like, I'm looking at the Niners' next 3 games, and I think they're going to win those. So that's
4-0.
He goes, so that's 4-0, and I'm like, oh my God,
love it,
people. Quarterback is out. If the 40,
they have a quarterback. You do. Realize that,
I understand
right?
Okay. that. Here's I won't even boil it into to week three and week four. I don't even fully know if Brock's not playing in those games.
Yeah, who knows who's playing?
This is what I want to say. The way that I'm hearing, and it's great if all of you are confident in the 49ers. That's wonderful. As you know, I believe that tucked under that is that most of you think Kyle Shanahan's an amazing coach, even though a lot of you won't admit it. So that's fine. But here's what I will say. If the 49ers win on Sunday, what I hate about the blasé nature of, oh, it's the Saints, they'll beat the Saints, I don't think the Niners will be getting the credit that they deserve for being 2-0 with both games being on the road to start a year where they've got a bunch of new players and then had incredible amounts of adversity thrown at them, from a Kittle injury to a Purdy injury to the Juwan negotiation to the Christian cramp and everything in between. And then a Juwan injury too. I still don't even know if he's playing.
Really quick on that, Kyle Shanahan has spoken. He officially ruled out Brock Purdy, officially.
That's great.
And then both Trent Williams and Juwan Jennings are questionable, officially.
Questionable concern. Yeah, Trent Williams didn't practice today. He never practiced this week.
He never practices.
Well, yeah, he does. He does on Thursdays and Fridays.
Today is a walkthrough anyway, so what's the big deal?
No, it's not a big deal except for if he sits the whole week out, I do think there's a chance he misses the game. So I'm just looking at all of this, and I'm thinking to myself, I hope that every 49er fan, if you get to Sunday night and the Niners are 2-0, I hope you appreciate what a magic trick that is. And I will tell you right now, if they do that, this is a playoff team. They're going to playoffs. This is stealing. If you go 2-0 on the road with one of them in the division, without your quarterback, without your tight end, your left tackle's hurt, McCaffrey's got a cramp, a bunch of rookies on defense. This would be an incredible feat in my mind. I don't care who the opponents are.
Yeah, I don't quite see it that same way. And, you know, teams that start out 2-0 are more likely than not to make the playoffs. So, yeah, 2-0 is actually a big thing. But you had your quarterback all through week one, and you went to Seattle, and that was an impressive win. Trent Williams was not good. George Kittle played about a quarter and a half. Juwan Jennings played about 3.5 quarters. And yeah, you found a way to get it done with Jake Tongis. That was a great win. If you go to New Orleans with Mac Jones, and you've got McCaffrey, and you don't have Kittle, but you've got your entire defense, if you win this game, that's a nice win. Any road win is a good win. I'm not going to fall over myself and talk about a magic trick and all the rest of it. You're going up against a quarterback who's never won a game in 7 starts, and he's not a starting quarterback. He's their starting quarterback, and Robert Saleh can talk about him being twitchy and accurate and this and that, but I don't think he's very good. And their defense, if you watched them against the run against Arizona,
they could not stop the run. No, they weren't great against the run.
This game is set up very well for the Niners to go out there and win with Mac Jones.
You can say that they don't have a starting quarterback. I believe that the 49ers don't either this week, and I think that that is what the league has decided about both of those players.
Well, this guy at least has started 49 games.
He has, and Spencer.
And Rattler's 0-7.
Yeah, but one of them was named a starting quarterback for week one. One of them wasn't. So
named for the starting quarterback for a team that really had no starting quarterback.
I don't think
still don't.
Neither one of them, in my opinion, are the level that is necessary for a starting quarterback, a successful one in the NFL. Neither one of them, in my opinion. So that's all I'm saying is to tuck into this. Like, there's a dynamic at play here where we are just habitual with our faith in the 49ers, and that's wonderful. There's a piece of me that's like, this is great. No wonder we're all called the faithful. Like, what the hell would it take for everybody to lose confidence in this team? They're coming off of a 6-11 season. They're coming off of a game where they largely looked like crap and got what I think is a lucky play to win the whole thing. And now their quarterback is out. The tight end's out. One of their top receivers might be out. Their left tackle might be out. And they're on the road in one of the loudest places. And everybody's just like, yeah. Like, for sure they'll win. I just think it's funny. Like, what is it going to take for someone to be like, ooh, this might be hard this weekend, a lot going on?
It might be hard, and it all depends, for me, on two things. One, can you stop the run? And two, is Mac Jones going to be up to the job? Because Mac Jones, throughout his career, has been mostly serviceable or pretty good, but then he makes the big mistake that will cost your team the chance to win a ball game. And I don't think that New Orleans is going to have a great time stopping the run. And when Kyle Shanahan's team possesses the ball more, when they run it more than 30 times, they win games. They win almost every game when that is the formula. And you've got McCaffrey, who is healthy. He's not on the injury list, and he had 31 touches last week, and you're going to have Brian Robinson Jr. and maybe a little bit of Garendo, and you don't have Kittle, so I think it's going to be a run-heavy attack, and if New Orleans can't stop the run, which they couldn't against Arizona, this sets up very well for the Niners.
I mean, look, yeah, they might win the football game. They might win the football game. They're a very, very well-coached football team. They still have some people in spots. But this is just an extension to a degree of the conversation that we had yesterday. I think that what the 49ers are facing right now, and faced last week, by the way, now knowing that Brock Purdy played the entire second half injured, like, I just think it's being undersold. I think it's being undersold. What, like, the difficulty of this, the situation the 49ers are in. We'll play for you in a little bit. Mina Kimes had something to say on ESPN that I thought was really smart, because you hear a lot this week of, well, Mac Jones is being dropped into a great situation. Is he? I mean, Kyle Shanahan's the best coach he's ever played for.
Right.
Christian McCaffrey's the best running back that's ever been behind him. But if his left tackle's out and his tight end is out and his second wide receiver is out, and that offensive line didn't look all that great last week anyway, if all these things are true, is Mac really being dropped in to a great situation? It almost sounds kind of like the position that Brock found himself in a few years ago in year one when Jimmy got hurt. This is not that, in my opinion, at all. This is not a juggernaut. This is not an all-powerful, all-wheels-turning, all-engines-firing situation. And so, this is not me telling you they won't do well. This is me telling you that if they do, I'm going to be really impressed.
Well, they're favored by, what, three and a half?
Vegas, whatever.
It's Vegas, but they're on the road and they're favored, which means if it was a neutral, they'd be 6 or 6.5 point favorites, which tells me that even without Brock Purdy, you, the president of Purdistan, he's not playing. Trent Williams is going to play. I'm not 100% certain because he's questionable, and Juwan Jennings, to me, is much more questionable than Trent Williams, but I look at this team, what they do have, this opponent, what they do and actually don't have, and you're favored by 3.5, go out there and win the football game.
So the favorite thing, to me, feeds into what I'm saying. A spread is based on public perception. That's what odds makers are good at. They're good.
In part, yeah.
Yeah, they're good at figuring out some things that maybe we don't know, but they're also attacking public perception, and this is what I'm saying. I don't know if they're, like, how many injuries would the Niners need to have before the Saints were favored this weekend?
Probably McCaffrey.
You think they'd be, I still think they'd be favored.
McCaffrey, if McCaffrey's out.
He ain't worth 4 points.
What is it? Is it at four?
No, it's at three. But okay. I'm saying, what would it take for the Saints to be favored?
Probably McCaffrey and Trent Williams.
And Bosa?
I doubt that.
I don't know. I don't even know if it's possible, and that's kind of my point. I think the reason we think the 49ers are going to win this weekend is because they're the 49ers. Not because you've got some sort of an X's and O's massive advantage in this game, and they're just clearly the better team. Like, even the way you said that, it's like, well, they're playing kind of a backup quarterback. So are the Niners. So are the
and
Niners.
And they clearly are the better team. I have no doubt. We can get into the matchup all you want.
I don't even know if Trent's playing. George is not. Brock
you don't know
is
if
not.
Anybody's playing. Alvin Kamara could come down with COVID tomorrow.
Well, no,
so,
but like, Trent's on the injury report.
Trent's going to play.
Okay. Like,
Trent Williams.
How do you know that?
How many snaps did he miss in week one? How many snaps?
How is that relevant to this
it's
weekend?
It's relevant because he missed one snap.
Brock Purdy didn't miss
Trent
any snaps.
Trent Williams
either.
Got rolled up on, and he came back in and played the entire game.
Brock played the whole second half, and now he's out 2-5.
Right.
He never missed a snap.
And that's because he's in a different spot than what Trent Williams is in.
I don't know. I don't know why what happened last week is relevant.
It's relevant to Trent Williams as far as, what's his normal arc of a week? He never practices Wednesday.
Right.
He, a lot of times, doesn't practice Thursday,
that's
and today's a walkthrough. true.
No, when he's healthy, he practices Thursday and Friday all the time.
That's not true.
Yeah, it is. We're sponsored by Moderna. 888-957-9570 is the number. We got all kinds of stuff to get into, heading into an anxiety-filled week for the Niners, for the Giants, and more. It's Willard and Dibs.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nah, bruh, we don't need none of that. We're not trying to do none of that. Just so you know, I'm nobody's side piece, okay? I'm the main course.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
He may not be anybody's side piece, but he ain't 6-0.
6-0, brother.
Another nice pick last night.
Yeah, thank you.
It's kind of an Ottoman game, actually. I know they had the ball there at the end, and they were only down 8, but, dude, Packers went out to a double-digit lead and pretty much stayed there.
Pretty much. And, you know, Jaden Daniels, my fantasy quarterback, I was happy that he got some of that, the GTP. Not Grandpa Daddy, but garbage time points.
Yeah.
He got himself some good garbage time puntos, and I needed it because I checked in. You know, by the time you get home and you run around with the baby for a little bit, it's like I'm not totally yocked in. And I looked at my phone, and he had 4.6 points fantasy at the end of the third.
Oh yeah. No,
and I'm thinking,
it not good.
This mother jumper, like, this is not going to fly. This is not going to work for me, JD.
This just quick aside on Jaden Daniels because we're there. I really think it's a fascinating year for him because when you're that good that quickly – understand, and this is yet another reason why Brock Purdy impresses me. When you come out hot like that, especially at a quarterback position and have a lot of success within your division and your conference, like the Niners did when Brock started and like the Commanders did last year, the defensive coordinators around the league and in your division become obsessed with you for 7 months. We're going to watch every play. We're going to watch every play twice. They're going to do like you do. Once they're done watching the game, they're going to watch the game again.
Watch it again, yeah.
And then they're going to get out their little legal pad and then scribble, 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 and scribble, scribble. And they are obsessed with finding your weaknesses and finding what can we do differently this year that is going to make it harder for this young player. And even in their victory last week against the New York Giants, which was somewhat easy, it was not an offensive explosion at all. And I just think that, if you want to call it a sophomore slump, go ahead and do that. But, like, I just think it's the league is going to throw some different stuff at him this year, and it's not going to be as easy for him.
Last night for me was less about adjustments and video review than it was about Washington, and their offensive line was just getting absolutely overrun on almost every snap.
Yeah.
And Micah Parsons is... he's motivated.
He's a good player.
He's a good player. He's good little player. But
the
entire Packer front and the Packer defense, I mean, you want to talk about small sample size Steve and forget, you know, 2-0, two games in, whatever. That defense last night looked incredibly nasty. And Daniels was running for his life for the majority of the game. And now you don't have Austin Ekeler. And Washington lost a defensive lineman as well to a season ender. So it's going to be a tough one now for the Commanders and my guy, Jaden Daniels.
Well, that's a hard division, obviously. It's a very, very hard division with Philly in it. Dallas is not great, but they're not a pushover either. Sure, you get a couple games against the Giants, but Washington already had one of those.
Yep.
So now they got to go do the rest of the league, and so I think that'll be difficult. Real quick, also, before we leave Washington, I'm itching to hear kind of as a one-off from some Niner fans, how do you think Debo looks? Because it's a lot of people last year that were like, he's done. Remember? He's lost a step.
Right.
And I was like, I don't think that's what this is. I think there's some bad juju spread all over this. And I think that Pearsall's here and Brandon's hurt, and so it's time. So, and Debo's getting into fights with long snappers and different things. Like, remember, it was a very peaceful parting of ways. It was time. But I never thought Debo was done or lost a step, and through two games, he kind of looks like Debo. he's also not being relied on to be their one.
Right, right.
Which is a different dynamic.
He's there too, and he looks fine when he gets the ball, but last night's a tough way to assess it because Green Bay just overwhelmed them offensively for, what, 3.5 quarters? And Debo had some nice plays, and the touchdown he scored was classic Debo, where you catch it at like the 12 and you shake one.
Break a few,
You go through a second, and then you fight your way to the goal line, and you actually get in the end zone, which was big for me to get that those fantasy points. But Debo, if Debo has lost a step, he needs to lose a couple more steps before he's actually not a good receiver
anymore.
No doubt.
Yeah, I think he looks pretty good. Good start for him in Washington, and he's probably going to be someone that Jaden needs because they are going to throw some different stuff at him. And as we all know here, Debo can be kind of an interesting little key on the side to doing some different things on offense.
Yeah, like running the ball.
Yeah, like when you're having a hard time, especially with Eckler out. It's going to be real interesting to see how they use Debo now.
19 carries for 51 yards for the Commanders.
Oh, God,
and that includes Daniels going 7 for 17. And
they didn't run it enough.
Your guy Bill, 4 carries for 17.
I'm like, yo, 4 for 17 is not a bad average. How about more?
Yeah.
How about give it to him again? And now Eckler's out, so I have a feeling he's going to get it some more now.
Yep.
But, like, the kid looked great last week. Give him the rock.
19 carries.
The rock.
That's right. Didn't get the rock.
No, they threw it. They threw it all night, and they were down. They were down early, right. So I get it. But anyway, check this out. Try this on for size. 888-957-9570. Mina Kimes on ESPN, and she was on This Is Football with Kevin Clark. And the question kind of went to the Niners and Mac Jones and expectations for this weekend, and here's her answer.
I question whether or not the situation around Mac Jones is good enough to enable this offense to keep rolling. We know Kittle's out. Watching them week ones against Seattle, the offensive line, to me, had a lot of problems. Brock Purdy was under pressure a lot. Admittedly, again, like I said, against a very, very good defense. The run game looked just okay with McCaffrey back. And of course, you know, you don't have Brandon Ayuk. Ricky Pearsall looked good, but this is not like Mac Jones, you know, getting into the Ferrari and getting given the keys. If this was a couple years ago, I would feel very different about him being slotted into this. And of course, Kyle Shanahan's, you know, one of the best play callers in the business, but this is not a great situation that he is stepping into. So I'm pretty skeptical of this Niners offense with him.
My bad on that one. That was actually on the Rich Eisen show, but whatever. Yep. It is Mina Kimes. And the question the question is what it was. And I'm kind of with her. And so, again, this is not me telling you that the Niners won't win. This is not me telling you that that everything's about to fall apart. I'm going into this game with a much more like, boy, I'd love to see it. But I'm not going to swagger into my seat at the sports bar with this like, we about to see it. I don't know. I don't know where that's from. Like, this is a very haggard group right now. It's a very haggard group.
How so? I mean, you're down.
How so?
You're down George Kittle.
You're down your QB.
We don't know if you're going to be without Juwan Jennings. It's not a haggard group. You're down your QB. Okay. Outside of that, you may, and you've
and
been
George
down
Kittle.
Ayuk.
And George Kittle.
Fine. You're down your tight end.
And possibly Juwan.
Let's not talk about
possibly
because we don't know about any of the possibilities. So if you're going to talk about haggard group,
but even
let's be fair about what that group
will.
Is.
Let me finish. If they're playing, they're still not playing at 100%.
No one is.
They're clearly hurt. No, that's not true. It's week two. Some of them are playing at 100%.
Sure.
I stand by that statement. This is a haggard group.
Yeah, I think haggard is...
No Purdy and no Kittle alone is a haggard group.
It's a different group, certainly, and it's not... For me, a haggard group, you're talking about multiple guys, more than just two who are out, and
multiple is two.
Okay, sure.
And they're both great players.
Yeah, and you can call it a haggard group all you want.
I will.
When they win on Sunday, you'll come in on Monday
and be impressed.
You'll sing a different tune.
No, I won't.
About
I'll be impressed.
The, quote, haggard group.
No,
and there's
I won't,
a reason
Dibs.
Why they're still favored against New Orleans because New Orleans is not a very good team. So whether or not this group is haggard or not, Mac Jones has been there for 6 months and you've got Christian McCaffrey who could be, likely might be a Hall of Famer. Trent Williams is. Fred Warner will be. You've got a great defense through 1 week.
All right.
The group is not haggard.
All right, let's
down two starters,
okay,
so fine.
Fine. I don't know why that word bothers you so much. That's how I see it. I see losing two of your, let's be real, However you want to rank them.
Two of your four most important players.
That's a haggard group. Two of your next, probably also on the list of, at least, certainly Trent is also in your top five. Juwan's in your top seven, and they are at least limping. Like, they're not at 100%. I'm very, very comfortable with that word. To hear you talk, the Niners should win by double digits.
No one said double digits.
Well, no, are they going to
win the game? No, who cares if they roll? Win the game. I don't really care if they roll or not until we get to ride the Dibber, and I'll give you my pick. And either I'm going to take the Saints and the 3.5, or I'm going to think, you know what? The Niners will win by 4 or more. I don't think that it's about rolling. It's about doing enough complimentary football to win the game.
Sure.
And for Kyle Shanahan,
nobody said otherwise.
When they run the ball 30 or more times, they are 47-7 in his tenure.
And remember, so, last week was one of those weeks
where they ran it 30 or more times and they won the game.
And with 3 minutes to go, they were down and won the game on what was a fortunate
Well, that's
play.
Because they had a kicker that nobody trusted.
In part.
And
yes.
they left 6 points on the table.
In part.
Because
yes.
one was blocked and one was doinked. And so now you don't have that problem. You get the fourth most accurate kicker in NFL history.
But you wouldn't suggest that the Niners looked great last week. You wouldn't do that.
I mean, in totality, how did the Niners look? That was probably a C-plus effort, B-minus overall. Special teams was a disaster.
I guess
the defense was patently good. The run game was good enough. Brock Purdy was shaky, but he made the plays that needed to be made. And ultimately, it's not about how you look. It's about how you do on the scoreboard way they finished. And the throw to Pearsall for 45 yards to set up the final push into the end zone, that to me counts for more than, you know, little mistakes here and there.
Well, of course it does in the end, but to say that they, like, you know, well, they rolled or whatever, like
they were
very fortunate to come out with a victory. I don't know why you would say I would come in Monday and sing a different tune. There's no tune that's being sung. I'm not telling you, I'm not predicting a loss. I'll tell you exactly what I'm going to sing on Monday if they won. Wow, I'm impressed. How the hell is this team 2-0 with everything that they've faced? I will be very impressed, and you're not going to take that from me.
I don't need to take it from you.
You have to, in my opinion, you have to acknowledge that this is not the 49ers as advertised. Yet I hear a lot of people still thinking that they will be based on either habit or our perception of the Saints, which is built on very little information so far, and just kind of our normal fandom, which in some way sort of comes with its own level of cockiness or confidence or whatever. And so I don't have an issue with any of this. I'm simply giving you my perspective, which is I am going to be... The stuff that they're facing is hard. This is hard to do. Mac Jones has never, he's in the system. He's never played in this system.
He did in the preseason.
Well, but
and,
that's
you know,
not,
the preseason matters a lot.
It really did
for Jake Moody.
Don't go there.
I just did.
It's different, and I've already explained that 1,000 times. The bottom line is when the lights come on, and we've all learned this over and over, when the lights come on for real games, it's a different speed, and different things happen, and it gets harder. And you don't know what the defense is throwing at you and all of those things. So that's all. I am ready for a fight this Sunday, and I think it's going to be very hard. And if the 49ers, 2 weeks into the season, have experienced the list that I have just said, which starts with an injured quarterback, an injured Hall of Fame tight end, and a quarterback who played the first game, half of it injured, trailing with 3 minutes to go, a kicker missing kicks, all of the things they've experienced, if they come out of that 2-0 on the road with one of them in division, it's a rabbit out of hat. It's awesome. It's amazing. And I hope everybody props them up for the achievement that will be, because it is incredibly hard. And I don't want to hear the Saints suck, because the Niners are they're a mess. They are.
Yeah, they're not a mess.
They are, I mean, without so many of the things that they do.
They've got every single defensive player up and healthy in a defense that was patently mostly good. They gave up only 4 explosive plays, and in general, they kept Seattle at bay. And you could say Seattle's offense is not very good. You might be right. New Orleans' offense is probably worse. So You go into New Orleans, you win into Seattle, the defense should be able to carry the day. The defense should be able to hold New Orleans to a spot where, okay, even with a backup quarterback, you've got an upgraded kicker. We got a kicker now who basically doesn't miss.
We think.
Well, I mean, we all clamored for Moody to be gone.
We did.
And he's gone, and so now you have the fourth most accurate kicker in history and a guy who doesn't really miss that often inside of 50.
Listen.
So if you're going to be in a game that's going to be tight and low scoring, and I think that this one will be, you have an upgraded kicker, you have a downgraded tight end and a downgraded quarterback, the defense should be as good, if not better. These guys are not playing their first game anymore.
I don't think we're actually all that far off. I'm just going to take one word that you keep using, and I'm going to switch it. You keep using the word should, and I'm going to use the word hope. I hope all of those things happen.
Well, I hope so, too.
I don't do should when you've got Jake Tonjes and Mac Jones as key people on your team who you've never relied on, you've never seen play in this system, never. Like, this is not a Niner team we've ever seen before. I would hope you could at least agree with that. We have never seen
Mac Jones as a quarterback in a regular season.
I don't know.
Spencer Rattler's never won a game in seven starts in the NFL.
Right. I'm not even really making it about the Saints. And I know you are, and that's fine.
That's who you're playing.
They're an NFL team. And I think the situation the Niners are in, whoever they beat, if they beat anyone this weekend, I'll be impressed. I think it's very, very hard. I'm not here to tell you they can't do it. I hope they can do it. I would lean towards maybe, probably they would do it. I choose to not use the word should. I don't know, because should comes from expectations. And I told you this at the beginning of the week. I've got none. Jermaine Wiggins, who is a former Patriot, and then works at WEI, therefore was a part of the whole Mac Jones experience for a few years. Listen to what he said about Purdy to Mac.
I don't know much about Brock Purdy. I've seen him play and whatever, and I'm still a little bit skeptical. Is he worth that type of money? But I would say it's a massive drop off, right? Because if you look at the success, and you know you can't knock the kid Brock Purdy. You look at the success that he's had, and now you look at Mac Jones, and you're going from Brock Purdy to Mac Jones. It's a major, major drop off. So I mean, I understand the being optimistic and having that because of Shanahan. But, you know, here you're getting a guy that hasn't really shown much success in the NFL. And if you're a team like San Francisco, like in New England, our expectations are low. Like, if we can win 7 or 8 games, maybe 9, great. But I know out there in Frisco, I know you guys are out there looking at it like, shoot, you know, we're expecting big things. So it's going to be interesting to see how Shanahan is able to get things going with Mac Jones at quarterback.
Yeah, I
agree. He's from New England?
Yeah, he played around Mac Jones.
Gotcha.
and covered Mac Jones.
Did he play with Mac Jones on those teams, or was he a little bit?
I think he was already retired.
Okay.
But he's a former Patriot who covers the Patriots now.
Gotcha.
Played with the Patriots.
Why does that sound so sarcastic?
It's in the
2000s. Sarcasm. It's context, because he starts out with, I don't know much about Brock Purdy.
Right.
I don't know if he's worth that money. And then he goes in on Mac Jones.
Right.
And it felt to me very pointed and personal about what Mac Jones did as a Patriot, what he saw. And that was during a time when the Patriots went from the greatest thing in the history of the league, rookie year he goes to the playoffs, the next 2 years he's not very good with different coordinators.
Greatest thing in the history of the league? Who said that?
The Patriots. I'm saying that.
The Patriots.
I'm Dan Dibley.
The team.
Yes. And I'm saying that about the Patriots.
They were not that his rookie year at all.
No, they were a playoff team.
Yeah.
And then after that, he had a new coordinator, and they weren't good. And after that, he had a new coordinator, and they were not very good. So I do think that this man's comments are colored by what he saw from the demise of New England. That's what I think.
Why would that?
Because if he played for the Patriots, I'm not dismissing it. I'm contextualizing it, because he's saying off the top, I don't know much about Brock Purdy. I don't know if he's worth that much money, but it's a huge drop off. And I wonder.
Yeah, that's his way of saying he doesn't think Mac Jones is very good at football.
Right.
Yeah.
Then he should just say that. And I think that he's saying that because of what the Patriots became when Mac Jones was the quarterback.
I think he's saying that because that's what he saw with his eyes.
Sure. And I don't agree with him about Mac Jones.
Okay.
And when he starts off with, I don't know much about Brock Purdy, I don't know if he's worth that much money. So we're going to compare an unknown versus something that you totally dislike?
I guess I'm confused at why you think that him disliking Mac Jones comes from some sort of different place other than just he's an analyst out there who covers the team and he doesn't think Mac Jones is very good. It's
right.
Essentially what Rick Ballew in Jacksonville said. It's what pretty much everybody who's ever watched Mac Jones play kind of comes away with that opinion.
Except and, Kyle Shanahan. I don't know if Kyle Shanahan's ever said that or thought that.
Kyle Shanahan didn't sign him to be a starter. He don't like him that much.
No, but he signed him to be a backup, and he gave him $5 million guaranteed to be a backup, thinking that you know, if something would happen to my quarterback, then you would have Mac Jones. He could have re-signed Josh Dobbs. He could have brought back Brandon Allen, but he didn't.
He's probably better than those guys, but right. I don't know why being better than those guys would make you swagger into a game like he going to watch this. He going to show everybody. Like, I just don't. That's where I'm coming from. Mac Jones.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, he can be a high-level backup, but that's what he is, which therefore means he's not that good.
Well, now he's a starter. So,
but that's
4 weeks or so.
So circumstantial. That doesn't change who he is. The bottom line is, for me, he's not that good. So I don't know why we would all swagger into New Orleans like, we got this because their quarterback's not very good, because neither is the 49er quarterback.
Well, you don't know that. He's never played a real game under Kyle Shanahan.
We know more about him than we know about Spencer Rattler.
Who's won more games?
Yeah,
Mac Jones or Spencer Rattler?
He's played seven times more games.
Who would you rather have right now, this week, for the Niners? Would you rather have Spencer Rattler or Mac Jones?
Probably Mac Jones.
Right. Probably. So, but to say that Mac Jones is not a starter is disingenuous because
he's not.
But he's better than some starters in the league. He's better than Bryce Young. He's better than Spencer Rattler, just to name two off the top.
I mean, does Sala agree with you? Here's what he said about Rattler.
Right.
This quarterback, I'm telling y'all, he's going to be a household by the end of the year. This kid's pretty good. So he's a twitchy athlete. He's got a hell of an arm. He's very decisive in his decision-making as he goes through his progression. And he's accurate with the football. So they gave Arizona everything they could handle.
That's
hilarious.
Why is it hilarious?
Because he is not that accurate. He was 27 for 46. He threw for 214 yards, which is not even 5 yards per throw.
You want
to talk about dink and dunk city?
But you have the stat about Spencer Rattler. I think he was first in the league in terms of expected catch percentage last week. Which means
he's throwing the ball like 1 yard away are catching the football.
No, it means his receivers are having a hard time with separation and dropping the ball, which is true. I don't know if you saw the game, but it's true.
Like, I saw the highlights,
Rattler wasn't great, but he wasn't bad. He wasn't awful. I would take Mac. But all I'm saying is I'm not waltzing into this game like, yeah, we got Mac Jones. Like, Mac Jones has shown himself in 4 years in terms of starting quarterback in the NFL to be below average. I don't know who the hell in the world wouldn't think that. Who doesn't think that?
He is above what you're going to face in Spencer Rattler. And so for one game, I'm not saying that Mac Jones is going to supplant Brock Purdy.
Yeah, he's got to beat the Saints defense, not Spencer Rattler.
Sure, but there's a reason why Kyle Shanahan went out of his way on day one of free agency to sign him, because he thinks that he's probably better than below average, at least as a backup, certainly.
888-957-9570. I tell you what, it sounds like we could have a conversation just on confidence in Mac. Forget anything about Purdy. Where does your confidence sit in Mac Jones? Mine is not high. I really, really want him to play well, though. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. We'll take your calls right now, 888-957-9570 on Willard and Dibbs.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.